station depends upon your contributions. If you like World Watchers and Mae Brussels, or if you don't, send money to KAZU-FM, okay?
Okay, this is Mae. KAZU, that's what it is. I kind of slurred that letter, but you know what it is, right? So what I'm trying to say is that there are pieces of the various assassinations funding outfit coming to light, or should come to light. They actually won't. We know that these investigations cover more than they open up. But the people who cover them have to take a peek at them. And then again, it's their responsibility to lock up or destroy the evidence that is coming out in the news or by other private investigators pushing them to investigate more. It's like the John Belushi case, where a little newspaper like the Enquirer can force an investigation of the LAPD that they may still try to cover, but at least the small independent newspaper is trying to do something, and that's better than sitting back and doing absolutely nothing on the subject. Now, I promised last week, sometimes I break promises and put them off, but it's apropos of this entire thing with Nancy Davis's brother living behind the Gross family, to talk about Nancy's walker. An interesting article, Nancy Reagan and the Flamboyant Prince of New York Society. And, you know, you have to wonder, you don't have to wonder very much about the Reagans if you lived in California and had 1 ounce of perception. You could get a view of what they were going to be like. A lot of people in the East throughout the country simply had no vision of him. And there's a lot of people in California who voted for him or didn't study or were not aware of day-to-day Reagan the 8 years he was governor. I happened to be aware of him on a day-to-day basis because I was doing research into the political assassinations, and you couldn't help but notice Ronald Reagan and the role that he played with people and refusal to extradite Mr. Bradley back to New Orleans to Jim Garrison just for a hearing or some questions covering up the people in California that were linked to the Kennedy murder. But the Reagans are an interesting couple. This book, this article in the Washington Post on the Flamboyant Prince of New York Society is written by Jennifer Allen, November the 30th, 1980. Baby Zip is his name. He's a 300-pound baby. Baby Zip, Jerry Zipkin, 66-year-old multimillionaire. I'm just reading a little bit of a few sentences from the article that I outlined for you. A view of the man, if you saw him last week in the San Francisco Chronicle, he had his back to the full picture, and there's little Nancy with her arm around him dancing. Baby Zip is 66 years old. He's a multimillionaire, a real estate heir. He's the perennial bachelor. He's just the cutesy around Washington and the various parties in New York City. He's her advisor on how not to be tacky, Baby Zip, if her skirt's too long or what to wear and so forth. This article says a discrepancy between Nancy and Baby Zip. He has a fondness for colorful people, but it's sort of out of keeping with her image, you know, this stark, suburban, a very uptight kind of woman. They have luncheons at the bistro in Beverly Hills. She listens to him. They gossip and they go out together. And Zipkin's been walking Nancy around for 15 years. Now, I mentioned last week, and I'm going into some more Alfred Bloomingdale. Betsy and Alfred Bloomingdale are Nancy Reagan's best friends. And Alfred Bloomingdale, for the last 12 years, has had little Vicky Morgan getting $18,000 a month. Her money dried up 3 weeks ago, the same date that Calvi was swinging off that bridge in London, and the same time, that just about the time that this former director of Lockheed is murdered, and we'll go into some more of that. But this article describes 15-year relationship, which would be about 1965, and was Zippy there when William Holden was the best man, or he's in the sidelines, this fellow, when William Holden was the best man for Nancy and Ronnie, William Holden, the future businessman of Mr. Kosugi. Well, the article says he gravitated towards the Reagans. He's sort of, I have to interpose some of this article. It's sort of like Charlie Manson gravitating from the prison up to Sacramento where he picks up a van. He gravitated towards the Reagan and their California coterie. Well, I said in those years that Reagan was being groomed for the president of the United States. So it's no coincidence this international Monte Carlo former I guess I'll take the responsibility on the air and say the lover of Somerset Maugham. It's not so unusual to be on the East Coast international circles, but the Reagans weren't that much in 1965 or 66. Believe me, they were always tacky, you know, from the word go, so there wasn't much to the Reagans. Well, he gravitates to the Reagans and to their friends, the Bloomingdales, the same Bloomingdales who, he's been with the Reagans 15 years, and Bloomingdale's had Vicky for 12 years. He's gravitated out there to Justin and Jane Dart and the Jack Rathers and Earl and Mary Jorgensen and the gang. He gravitates, okay? And he takes her to the hairdresser, and he takes her shopping for clothes in New York, and he chooses the museums. This is the article in the ballets and the theater and the charity luncheons. I don't even see Nancy Reagan even doing those things. I don't bet she doesn't know one artist from the other. She may know one ballet dancer, but that's it. And he has in charge of her detail of her clothes. And Zipkin is more closely allied with Mrs. Reagan than her husband. Now, you know, I wonder where the moral majority falls into this one. Not that it really matters who Zipkin really likes or who his paramours are with, but what in the heck is he doing around with Nancy Reagan for 15 years and Lee Radziwill, and you get into a whole can of worms, the associates that he had, as I say, Somerset Maugham. Had interesting background, also working for intelligence and for a spy system that links to Ian Fleming and down the Bahamas and so forth. According to this article, various descriptions, he's described as a social mouth, not a moth, a court jester, bitchy, pretentious, affected, and their closest friends include Pat Buckley. Now, Nancy went to Smith College with Pat Buckley. I mean, you never hear a speaker say anything. I mean, it's certainly no accolade for Smith College that she even knows anything. But there's a list of their friends, Diane von Furstenberg, Diane Vreeland, Mary Lazar, and Jerry Zipkin. There's a photograph of him with Lee Radziwill. That's Jackie Onassis's sister, of course. And we won't go into the Radziwill family right now. Friends are devoted to him. Everybody clears with Zippy when they come to town. You go away to Europe and you come back from New York, you check with Zippy. You come into New York, you check with Zippy. If you don't have his phone number, you just don't know anything, evidently, because Zippy seems to be the thing that tells you where to go or what to do for the beautiful people. Well, in 1975, he leaped to high society, and Truman Capote wrote about him. He was furious, and he told about the naughty goings-on, the character of Zipkin and his contacts and relationship with the Duchess of Windsor, among other people. He went to Princeton University. He never graduated. He moved on to Manhattan, and he flew to Los Angeles often. He was friends with George Cukor and Louis Mayer. It's funny, Louis Mayer had a secretary, Ida Koverman. I mentioned her on programs different times. She was the one who used to get me my autograph pictures of the movie stars, and I happened to be the secretary for President Herbert Hoover. And it was the direct pipeline of fascist America, Herbert Hoover, to Louis B. Mayer and Ida Koverman. And it was a nest of people also that during the Hollywood blacklisting or the control of what screenwriters were put on or who got parts. Ida Koverman was a big wig at MGM, and Zipkin was flying in often. His contacts were with Claudette Colbert. That's the actress where Ronald Reagan just visited in the Barbados. That was his million-dollar Easter vacation. And again, Somerset Maugham. This article describes Nancy Reagan, going with him. He takes her to the theater when Ronnie can't go. She's gone out with him a lot. There was a book signing party for Henry Kissinger that the Rockefellers gave, not Nancy, Happy Rockefeller, who shouldn't be so happy, but she gave a book signing party for Henry Kissinger, and Zipkin is there. He mingles with the Buckleys and the very questionable, the espionage element, the royalty, the espionage element, the seedy side, supposed to be the social side of the New York international chic. He takes her to get her clothes and to Bill Blass and choose the suits and the fashions. I don't know where he gets his taste from, but he gets it. He bought a collection of Somerset Maugham's writings and a book, and he gave it to the University of Texas. His route is Spain, California, Palm Beach, the Riviera, and his favorite conversation piece are his velvet evening slippers with embroidered with a hammer and sickle. I just mention it, and then at the end they say he has no known love life. He's very discreet. Well, the news media is very discreet about him. And is this Nancy Reagan, Nancy Davis's contacts? What contacts, I am asking you, and because none of us really know, but it's very weird, what contacts the Davis family pushed Nancy from Smith College out to Hollywood? And at a time when Ronnie was to dump that first wife and take Nancy, she took total control of Ronnie from that moment on in his political career. She's the dragon lady of this administration, and she has carried him to where he is, and she sits there. But is Zippy behind her, and he escorts her, and then in turn, where his contacts go, continental, intercontinental, wherever they go, what is the relationship of this particular walker? He has to be more than a walker, Mr. Zipkin. And also, I mentioned the Bloomingdale story, as I say, last week, the Palimony suit, same attorney for this case as the one for Mrs. Kosugi. And of course, he loves these Palimony suits, that Marvin Mitchelson. Interesting circle, and he says this will be an easier one to win because Alfred Bloomingdale signed the papers for this $18,000 a month that she was supposed to get. But one thing I forgot to mention on the air last week when I was talking about that scandal again, coming close to the Reagans, is that Mr. Bloomingdale, besides being the son of the founder of Bloomingdale Department Store, he founded the American Express card and was head of that. But he was the man behind Frank Sinatra's early career. Frank Sinatra, again, has very close links to Princess Grace and Monte Carlo. And on the main line in Philadelphia, out of main line, working for the CIA, is Samuel Cummings. His headquarters are in London. He's the international arms merchant. I've done many programs on him. He's the largest weapons dealer in the world. He supplied Wilson and Churchill and Korkula with weapons. He sends them to every and any country. He has stockpiles in London, outside of London, safe houses, assassination teams, places in Virginia. Samuel Cummings has a sister who was just appointed to a mini cabinet position by Ronald Reagan at a huge salary. And that sister is married to Senator John Tower of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. The Cummings come out of Philadelphia. George de Morenschild, who worked for Lockheed and various intelligence operations, Lee Harvey Oswald, not worked for him, but had direct contacts through family with agents of Lockheed, and his daughter marrying the son of vice president of Lockheed, George de Morenschild, came from Germany and from the Defense Department and into this country, into Pennsylvania, and married a woman, Dee Dee Sharples, who lived on the Philadelphia Main Line. Ruth Payne, who housed Lee and Marine Oswald, lived in Philadelphia. Frank Sturgis, involved in Watergate with Lee Harvey Oswald, and disinformation was from Philadelphia. I did 1 hour on the Philadelphia connections to the assassination of John Kennedy. But we have Roberta Calvi over there dying in London, Edwin Wilson's headquarters, and Wilson comes home, and the one of the chairmen of Lockheed through the years that I'm talking about. Now, this fellow, this Gross that was murdered, was the chairman through all of these years, and that's very important. Now, I also mentioned Nancy's gems last week briefly, but there was an article, this is June the 15th in the Washington Post, Associated Press. Nancy's still got her borrowed gems. New York, First Lady Nancy Reagan has failed to return diamonds worth more than $100,000 that she borrowed 16 months ago from to wear at the inaugural party from the jeweler Harry Winston in New York. Now, they didn't say if those jewels are worth $1 million. They said they're worth more than $100,000. I once read that there was a value of $1 million or $1.5 million. I'll have to find the article. But another writer will say, the gems are worth more than, you know, you can have a house worth more than $100,000 and it could be worth $6 million. But the Winston Company doesn't know whether to list it. They didn't know whether to have it for tax purposes as a gift or a loan. And as of this June, they said that she still had the diamond necklace. She took diamond earrings over for the wedding of Prince Charles, and she took diamonds to Europe. What does Nancy have? And also I mentioned, and you might not have heard it or forgot it, that the Fifth Avenue jeweler, Harry Winston, is represented by Dylan Reed, the brokers, the Wall Street brokers that were sold to Bechtel Corporation last year in March. so that the new Secretary of State, George Shultz, was president of Bechtel at the time that they purchased the Dillon Reed Corporation that carried the Harry Winston Diamond people that gave or loaned Nancy Reagan a hunk of stones. And I don't think it was 100,000. They should have the precise amount of the value. More than isn't enough. But Nancy Davis is getting her stones and being paid off for probably what is a boring marriage. It may be interesting, but it must be very fearful because of so many things that are going on around them all the time, and not just the shooting of John Hinckley trying to shoot the president. And there's a social column in the Los Angeles Times. This broadcast sort of sounds like Luella Parson or Hedda Hopper, but this is about the way it goes, the Society of Pennsylvania. And with the murder of the Gross family, I want to repeat that. It is an important thing that those two people were murdered. Now, because of their links, Lockheed Corporation, at the time that Thane Caesar worked there, he was to shoot Robert Kennedy from the back of the head. The Lockheed Corporation with George de Morenchild, with Mr. Kasugi, with the Saudi Arabians, with William Holden. It's all there. And finally, or just before we close, there was a society column, Jody Jacobs in the Los Angeles Times. There's a great big anniversary cake of Frank and Barbara Sinatra. It's their sixth anniversary. They made it at Chasen's. And there's a plate on top of the cake. It's almost as wide as the cake, with a picture of Frank and his wife, Barbara. And there's a little party that took place. This is July the 13th. Well, all this activity of their various contacts and so forth, or being touched, such as that primary witness of Raymond Donovan, who was in the trunk of the car in New York. And I keep repeating these. There were so many bodies strewn around between June and July, and just topping it off with this particular one in Philadelphia Mainline this week. Jody Jacobs wrote, Frank Sinatra crooned true love to Barbara. The cake was the gift of Marvin Davis, the studio chief and oil man from 20th Century Fox. Now, Marvin Davis is the fellow I told you who bought 20th Century, which included our Pebble Beach territory, and that put Gerald Ford and Henry Kissinger up here at the Pebble Beach on the board of directors of Marvin Davis's corporation. The party was staged at Chasen's restaurant. Their original wedding was at the home of Waldron Lee Annenberg. She was the former ambassador in London and had a protocol for a while. Present at the party were Robert Wagner and Jill St. John. That's the woman he's going to marry very shortly. Jill was a cover for Henry Kissinger dating him when they wanted to give him the sexy image, when there were rumors that a lot more was going on in Washington, D.C. with Henry Kissinger than being a ladies' man. And Jill St. John came to the rescue at that time. At the party was Mrs. Sidney Korshak and her husband, the attorney David Korshak. Now, Korshak, according to the society column, he stayed in the background. He looked positively ecclesiastical in back, and he wasn't very visible at the party. Well, Korshak was the attorney for Gulf and Western, and at the time that Gulf and Western was being investigated, and I might have mentioned this to you before, he was the attorney from Cicero, Illinois, with Al Capone and the Capone gang. And that's the hometown of Paul Marcinkus, who's now under investigation with the Vatican funds and the Roberta Calvi murder, and with the missing billions out of Italy. At the party was Frank Sinatra and the Marvin Davises and the Korshaks, and the whole gang was there. Nancy Reagan was not there, and Mrs. Bloomingdale was there. He was homesick, probably worrying about the story that broke in about his friend Vicky Morgan. I'm sure that he would be staying home and not feeling very happy to socialize. Well, that was the social column from the Chasen's party for the Sinatras. Now, Sinatra, of course, and Grace Kelly and that main line in Philadelphia, and Samuel Cummings, his offices in Monte Carlo, are very thick. There is a connection there between Frank Sinatra and the Nancy Ronald Reagan gang, the Philadelphia connections, the Lockheed connections, the CIA, the Vatican. They're all interwoven, and they're very close. And when there's one murder is so important as Roberta Calvi in London, you have to take notice, and I have to spend time to go into the murder of the Lockheed family in Philadelphia mainland, because Those things don't just happen. Something very serious preceded that murder, and the one before it triggers off, whether it's Reverend Moon going to jail, whether it's Michael Sindon in jail, whether it's Frank Nugent talking, whether it's Calvi who picked up the papers in Switzerland and so that somebody could take them from him. See, he could cling them out of the vault and take them to London and maybe blackmail the Queen. The Queen had to meet with somebody and talk at least 10 minutes and offer some scotch, and the police or the palace guards didn't come for another 10 minutes when she rang, and then they took her to a hospital a day and a half later for whatever reason. And she's, what, 58 years old and had her wisdom tooth taken care of 2 days after that incident. You haven't seen a picture of her with her or her husband, or in righteous anger about the fellow being there. We haven't seen a thing about the Queen of England since that incident. And because of Calvi's links to the royal family in England, I think there is a lot to think about. Also, since my program last week, I was on the air Monday, and then Tuesday there was the article that Mr. Begelman of MGM was out. David Begelman resigned from Columbia Pictures after a forgery and embezzlement scandal 5 years ago. He went on to MGM, United Artists, and with a moment's notice, he was out. The timing of his departure coincides with the circulation throughout Hollywood of that book, Indecent Exposure, that I talked about on the air. MGM Chairman Frank Rothman, who represented Begelman at the time of the Columbia problems, who then went on to become head of MGM, is finding another chairman of MGM. Now, one of the people who's worked with MGM, been on the board and had the controlling stock for a while, was the Brofmans, well, a member of the Brofman family, the Seagram whiskey people, and 2,000 other wineries and corporations. And it was under the Brofman group that Permandex was formed in Montreal, Canada, out of Italy. Alessio Gelli and Roberta Calvi and Michael Sindona and the assassination teams that linked with Clay Shaw in New Orleans, where Lee Harvey Oswald was, with the Nazi connections, the far-right connections, the Demorenchil connections, and not the Cuban links at all. This transition here of Brofman, he still has a lot of stock at MGM. They were making the movie, their last big movie or big investment was the Natalie Wood movie. When she died right after William Holden died. And Holden had tentacles to the international bankers, to various countries where there is a lot of activity going on at the present time. See, and to analyze some of the currents that are taking place now, the system, our system in this country or any other country, can't survive the flow of capital that is leaving to go out to other countries to be put into plans, say, for military coups or dictatorships. We have banks that are collapsing, such as the one in Oklahoma that's linked to the Continental in Chicago. That goes to David Kennedy and Michael Sindona and espionage activities there. The missing money from Wells Fargo that was supposed to be $200 or $300 million that was reduced down to $23 million. Was it $300 million, and what will happen to Wells Fargo? They're the total banker for the entire Bechtel Corporation. Hundreds of millions and billions of dollars go entirely to the Wells Fargo. Now, whenever these huge banks are being investigated, whether it's $2 billion that leaves Italy, whether it's $26 billion that leaves another bank in Italy, whether it's the bank in Milan or in Rome, whether it's $300 million or $200 million or $23 million in California, whether it's $45 million in the Franklin Bank that Michael Sindona helped collapse in New York City. And I could go on. Many people have called me and they're interested in this flow of money. But every investigator who goes into these banks is going to tap to the same cast of characters. So you will hear my referring to their names over and over again. And it will be necessary that primary people will be killed so that the flow of information is cut off. They can say to Calvi, here's your Brazilian passport, here's your Brazilian name, here's your 18,000. Just go to Switzerland and take the papers out that link the Queen of England to these scandals, to the Mother Lodge, okay? He takes them out and he goes to London and he's killed and the papers aren't there. It's similar, say, Karen Silkwood wants to tell the New York Times about the spill of uranium and what's going on. with that Kerr McGee and the situation where she was working. So she has a car accident. She has the papers with her. The papers are removed and never seen again. Then they go back to her apartment, and the refrigerator is filled with radiation anyway. So it didn't really matter. She would have died, but they made sure that she thought she'd have her moment to get her papers to somebody. I think it's important. A lot of people say to me, and maybe this, I don't think this is an excuse, but they say, why don't you write a book? Why don't you put this into a book? The point is that you can summarize all this book and get a tight manuscript and take that book on your way to the publisher, and that's the day you'll be off. When you get it all together so it's understandable, when you put the pieces down there, when you have the footnotes, when the publisher says, that's it, we've got the story, you wouldn't survive that story. I think it's more important to take the thread of news that happens, say, every day or every week and analyze it with you. And if you like the broadcast, you listen. And if you like them a lot, you can tape them every week. You can buy expensive tapes at Thrifty or Kmart, sometimes three for a dollar, and play them over and over. And you can write to me and send a self-addressed stamped envelope, and I'll send you the articles and the sources of information that are coming out, you know, that I'm using on the broadcast. Now, there's one thing I want to say before the program is over. This has to do with contributing to the station. People from out of town, naturally, you don't send to money to the station because you have stations to support yourself up in the Bay Area and the San Jose area. Donate to those stations that play these tapes and show them you appreciate by giving them the money. But in this area, there are many, many people who always call me and ask me questions about things in the news, and particularly when there's murders or scandalous stories coming. And I'm always available. And I think I'll change the technique now. If you participate, if you join Kazoo, if you send $15 to KAZU as a member of Kazoo and show that you appreciate it, then I will answer your questions. And you can call me, or I do interviews with people. A young person called me today who just graduated from UC Santa Cruz. He wanted to ask me a question about something. And I've done interviews, and he wanted to do an article a while back. I helped him with one. He wanted another one. I said, where were you yesterday when we raised money for the station and met? Well, if people can't get there and it wasn't convenient and they missed that opportunity, I'm on the air. It's free for you, 1 hour a week, okay? And Kazoo gives you that time. But if you want more at my home, if you send a membership, I'll answer your questions anytime you want, or interviewed with you, write articles with you. You can use my research. But if you don't want to become a member of the station and help support them, it'll cost you $15 to ask me a question, okay? So if you call my house and you ask me a question, pay in advance. I won't answer you and take a pledge. They take pledges. I don't take pledges. Mail them a check. And when they get the check, it'll be just one day, or leave it off. They'll call me, and then I'll take your question. And then once you're a member, I'll answer your question all year. So for $15, you get a year of information, which you don't get on the air. You can ask me at home. Is that fair enough? And that way I'll save time, because I won't have to answer the phone all day at home, and they'll get the money. So if you don't give the money, I'll have the time. And that's the way it's going to work, and I think that's fair. So we'll wind up now. We have 1 minute. Watch these people that are big off. The Lockheed case was terribly important. Following on top of the Calvi case and right behind Nancy Davis's brother, because Nancy Davis was Nancy Davis before she was Mrs. Reagan. And as soon as she latched on to Reagan, Mr. Zippy, Baby Zip, latched on to her. And these walkers are very important. They are the puppeteers that control the strings, and the rewards are the diamonds around the necks and ears, and there's a logical connection between it all, so you just watch the parade, okay? This is Mae Brussel on Kazoo. I'll be back with you next week. Take care, and we'll be back next Monday.
KAZU, Pacific Grove.